Turn to God's Word, to the book of Genesis chapter 1, reading from verse 1 to verse 5, which can be found on page 3 of the Pew Bibles. Words I'm quite sure the majority of people will be very familiar with. Hear the Word of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Here ends the first reading. We turn to Psalm 136, reading from verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who made the heavens so skillfully. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who placed the earth among the waters. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who made the heavenly lights. His faithful love endures forever. The sun to rule the day. His faithful love endures forever. And the moon and stars to rule the night. His faithful love endures forever. Here ends the second reading. Words very similar to the beginning of the Old Testament we find at the beginning of this Gospel. John chapter 1, reading from verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. Friday past was Black Friday, a custom we have imported from America, where it began back in the 1960s in Philadelphia. It's a day after Americans celebrate Thanksgiving. Some say it's called Black Friday because it's the day shopkeepers go from being in the red to being in the black. Others say it's Black Friday because of all the mayhem that was caused by the additional shoppers looking for bargains. Whatever its origins, it's now part of our culture. But the style of this shopping extravaganza has changed in recent times. Gone are the queues waiting overnight for the bargains. Nowadays, the shopping mostly takes place online, on the internet. I did some research on Friday and found that the majority of the bargains on offer were electronic, as in games and all that other kind of stuff. Now, I have been blessed to live through a technological revolution. I remember the first mobile phones, one of these great big things with the aerials, you'd stick them up. It's like a brick. I remember the first interactive games consoles, where you used your TV and a short line would appear on one side of the screen and a short line there, and a wee dot would go between the two, and you would play this game of TV tennis, and you'd think, this is great. I remember the first personal computers, like the Sinclair ZX Spectrum, and you had to actually write in the program to make it work, not swipe it with an app. You older people might not know what that is. I haven't got a clue either. I remember old TVs where the only remote control we had was the ability to stand up and go over and press the button on a telly. We have come a long way. But young children now and in those days in the past still have one thing in common. They often prefer to play with the box the toy came in rather than the toy itself. Some things never change. Technology has come so far, so fast during the past 50 years. I'm amazed at the advances that have been made. I'm equally amazed at how much we take for granted modern technology with all its benefits and conveniences. One technology which we take for granted is the electric light. Most of us do not remember a time before electric lighting. And therefore, we do not fully appreciate what a change that made to daily life. It's up there with indoor toilets and central heating and dishwashers. Yes, I dare say it would be hard for us to imagine the huge difference there would have been in our lifestyle without electric lighting. Another light that we take for granted today is Jesus. The coming of that light changed the world forever. It's hard for us to appreciate its impact on the world because we have no recollection of the world before Jesus. Unless you read history books, the only hint of the impact made by Jesus, the light of the world, is provided in the changed life of those who have truly been converted by him. If you look in the dictionary, the first definition for light is something that makes vision possible. In other words, light makes it possible for us to see. Without light, we are hopelessly blind. Blind to our surroundings, blind to our situation and circumstances, blind even to ourselves. Light makes it possible for us to see clearly things just as they really are. Before Jesus came into the world, most of the world was spiritually blind. It was unable to see spiritual reality. The world had become blind because it had rejected God. As we heard in John's Gospel, the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. If you push God out of your life, then you will be plunged into darkness. And that is what the world did. The Apostle Paul explains in his letter to Romans chapter 1, verses 21, when he talks about the people who lived before Jesus was born. It says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. In our
confused darkness, humanity lost sight of who we are, where we come from, why we're here, and where we are going. Jesus came as light to help a blind world regain its sight. Jesus said in John 12, verse 46, "I have come as light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark." When Jesus stepped down from heaven and became one of us, he revolutionized our way of thinking about God. Gone was the distant deity. Here was God in the flesh, who explained the law and the purpose of the law. The law given to Moses were not given to save us. They were given to show us that we need to be saved by someone else. The laws were given to point us to the Messiah. The laws were given to show us how much we live in darkness and how much we need the light of Jesus to rescue us. When Jesus stepped down from heaven, he revolutionized the way we were to think about each other. When he said, "Love one another as I have loved you," his life illuminated his words and demonstrated his love. And when he said, "Love your enemies," it was such an alien concept, such a change in our cultural way of thinking, that most people to this day struggle to put it into practice. It's comfortable to love your friends and your family, but to love the ones we see do evil, that's so much harder. Yet it gives us just a glimpse of the depths of God's love. When Jesus stepped down from heaven, he revealed a God of love who understands us even when we don't understand ourselves. A God who loves us and who wants a relationship with us. We now know and we understand to a point that our sin and rebellion has severed our relationship with God. We now know and understand that we can regain that relationship now and forever through Christ Jesus. We now know right from wrong. We now know there is a marvelous place prepared for those who strive to walk in his light. We also know the terrible destiny for those who reject the true light. Thanks to Jesus Christ, we can now say, "Once we were blind, but now we see." In 1877, it was discovered that sunlight kills bacteria. Before we had all our modern germ killers that kill 99.9% of germs, the only way to purify a thing was to hang it out in sunlight. We now know that the ultraviolet rays of the sun purifies the air, water, and surfaces of bacteria and germs. By purifying air and water, and by destroying the bacteria on surfaces such as the skin and bed sheets, sunlight destroys germs in our environment before they enter our bodies. Furthermore, sunlight also aids in destroying germs within our bodies, because after exposure to sunlight, the ability of our body's cells to eat and destroy invading foreign substance is greatly increased. Enough of the medical lesson. Just as the light of the sun removes physical stains, so that Jesus, the light of the world, removes the spiritual stain of our sin from our souls. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "Thus says the Lord, though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." Yes, Even as sunlight purifies, so also Jesus purifies us. Jesus instructed Paul to preach the gospel to all. In Acts 26, verse 18, it says, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Peter, in Acts 2, verse 38, speaks of how we should respond to the gospel that allows one to be cleansed by Jesus. He said, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. But even after we become Christians, the continued cleansing of Jesus is required. For though we strive to obey his will, how often do we stumble and sin from time to time? 1 John chapter 1 says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For good reason, light has been a symbol of hope through the ages. Since God first said, let there be light, the sense of hope we feel when we see the first rays of dawn after a long, difficult night. Darkness is one of those things that many people fear. I don't know if anyone here fears it, but I recently heard a lot of fear on Halloween night, or in the lead up to Halloween night, when they had that ghost walk down the glen. Boy, did I hear those people scream as they jumped out of their skin when the people who organized it jumped out from behind things and frightened them. Most of the screaming was fun. But I wonder how brave they would have been if they had been there on their own instead of in the large groups that went round. What is it about dark that makes us fear it? Is it the fear of the unknown? Is it the fear that the devil is waiting somewhere in the shadows to pounce on us and steal our souls? The lights on the Christmas tree at this time of year remind us that Jesus is the light of the world, that his light shines in the darkness, that his light has always been there. Before the world was created, Jesus was with God and Jesus was God. Jesus is the embodiment of hope, hope of salvation, hope of righteousness, hope of peace. But the greatest hope he brings is the hope of his eternal kingdom. For many, death is a dark and foreboding thing. Death is dreaded rather than something to be viewed with hope and anticipation. But Jesus can change that. He is the only one who can grant us cheerful light when we are in the valley of the shadow of death. For if you belong to him, death is but a shadow of the light of his eternal kingdom. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? In the final book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21, it says, and the city has no need of the sun nor the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. Chapter 22 says, and there shall no longer be any night, and they shall not have any need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. As you gaze at the wonder of Christmas this year, when you look upon the lights on the Christmas tree, I wonder if you are walking in the light today, or if you are still in the darkness of the world. Unless you believe in Jesus as your only Saviour and have repented of your sin, then you are still living in darkness and have yet to know the full benefits of his light. That's a bit like the scene near the end of the film Polar Express, which we played in the grotto at the Christmas fair, where the grown-ups shake the bell from Santa's sleigh and hear nothing, whilst the young ones hear it chime because they believe. And because they believe, they see the wonder of Christmas. And unless you believe in the wonder of Jesus, you will never see the glory of his kingdom. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, on this, the first Sunday of Advent, we look ahead in anticipation to Christmas Day. As we put up decorations, as we light our own Christmas trees, help us to remember that you are the light of this world. And so easily do we live in darkness. Lord, help us to remember through the light that we see that our sins need to be cleansed. They need to be burned as fire purifies silver. Lord, help us to focus upon you, to give everything to you, and to walk towards Christmas in anticipation of that glorious kingdom to come. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.